Well, good morning.
Morning, Kenny.
So you guys went to a gala last night that Mitch ruined?
I got there and the party was buzzing already about how the best kept secret, literally, not facetiously,
the
best kept
history.
Secret was ruined on the way over.
So our boss, Andy, is leaving for Atlanta. He's been here for 13 years. He hired all of us.
Is he getting three times the salary?
I don't know. That's up to him. I have no idea. That's an it. You always make it interesting.
It's no Milwaukee.
Well, no, it's no Milwaukee. You know what rains more in Atlanta than it does in Seattle? Swear to God.
Interesting.
Saw it on TV.
No kidding.
Yeah. I don't know why I said it, but there you go.
I had heard Cleveland gets more cloudy days than Seattle.
Really? I've also heard that if you don't like the weather in Cleveland, just wait 5 minutes.
Yep. You know what? I think they say the same thing in Cobb County, Georgia.
Wow. Off to a rousing start.
Where you better respect the law and order.
Is that why they built the stadium there?
Or you'll be serving hard times. Maybe. Maybe. It looks very nice, very opulent. Andy will get a chance to see it. Anyway, enough about the city of Atlanta. So I wasn't able to make it. I had TV, and then I had Axel's practice, which Axel was unable to attend, but nobody cares. So I wasn't able to make it. You two were able to make it. So what? Tell everybody, you got to fill me in on what happened here, because all I did was get a text from the marble mouth of Crawford County, and he goes, Mitch did something that is classic Mitch, and you guys, they need to tell you. And I said, okay. So apparently Mitch ruined yesterday because it was supposed to be a surprise get-together for Andy. And this was held in downtown
of
a local bar.
We have known for over a week that we were going to do this.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks,
at least,
right? Yeah.
And every day I've seen Andy. Every work day we've mm-hmm. seen Andy. Nobody said anything. To the best of my knowledge, he was unaware that this was going down. Keith had set things up, was going to bring him over as a just two guys getting together one last time, and then surprise, no, everyone that you know, this is your life, will be there. I was already in the room of the place where we were at, and Andy came bounding down the stairs. Not in a, you guys, it was like, there's everybody that I knew was going to be here because the surprise was spoiled for me, and here comes Keith right behind.
Mitch, how did you ruin the surprise?
What did you do?
What I did before was I came back to the studio to get a clip ready for today and to say hi to the afternoon show, and because of that, apparently, the surprise was ruined.
You
I didn't
just
even
pop
realize.
In to say hi to the afternoon show often?
And get some clips for today.
You do
and
that
because
often?
Of that,
do you do that
so
often?
So you did something you don't ever do, and it happened to be the
First
day
of all,
that there
I've
was a surprise.
I've come back in the afternoon a number of times since I started working here full-time.
When's Boom. The last time you did it?
3 weeks ago.
So you do this often?
Not often, but it occasionally happens. I don't see, so which that that's why when I went to the party and was told that I ruined the surprise, I was confused at first. I'm like, how did I possibly ruin
so
this?
So you don't believe you ruined anything?
They're getting defensive.
I didn't ruin the overall party. The
He's
party
very
itself
defensive.
Was good.
This is very defensive.
It
this
wasn't the defensive. First time that you were seen, according to the source, which my source is Andy Roth, the man okay. that the party was for. He said, oh, I saw Mitch on the other side, on our side, this side of the building, twice.
Yeah, not once, but twice.
Twice. And I knew something's up.
See, now when I came down here, I was later, but I wasn't sure because they didn't necessarily know when Andy was going to leave the
Correct.
Building because there was not going to be a time-sensitive element. It was just supposed to be, hey,
after our work is done.
Yeah, when work is done, we'll leave. And that's embedded in that is part of the surprise. Like, this is just a standard day that he was going to go over there with Keith, have a couple drinks. And boom, big surprise. So when I came down here, you know, I had sent a couple of texts and nobody responded. So I actually went out the back way that I would never go out. Yeah, then down Prospect and I looped around, went out of my way. Meanwhile, Mitch went right to the Lion's Den.
Mitch, have you ever been to a surprise party?
Why would you do that?
With streamers and a big sign that said surprise.
I like you, Mitch. Yeah. We really do. This is why we're busting you up so bad. We wouldn't even let you on the air.
He had a marching band with him.
If we didn't like you. But at the same time, I mean, they're both right. That really is. Let's just call it what it is. It was really stupid.
Why was it stupid, though? Because I got here too early. I needed to get work done. I wanted to say hi to the guys.
Right.
I didn't think that Andy was still going to be here.
Mitch, have you ever been to a surprise party before?
Yes.
Have you ever been invited to a
now,
party
when you
before?
Go to that surprise party, do you park your car a block away and walk to it, or do you park everybody park immediately in front of the place where you're at?
I'd imagine I'd park wherever I would what? Want to as long as it's not spoiling.
So you're just going
to
avoid
what was the... Yeah, he's going to avoid the question. Okay. So what was the clip you needed to load in?
There were a couple clips, actually. One was from Joe Flacco yesterday on McAfee's show. The other one...
We got to play these.
So that's something that Keith wouldn't have loaded in himself?
These are vitally
he
important.
He didn't. I got it myself.
So wow. now
he's taking shots at my producer. I'm not taking shots at him.
We're off to a great start there. You couldn't have done this morning? You couldn't have loaded it in this morning?
I didn't know if I would have time.
You didn't know if you would have time.
I worked on a lot of stuff in the morning to prepare for the show and make sure I have stuff ready for you guys.
How long is the clip?
Like 50 seconds, I think.
So 50 seconds of audio is worth coming in and ruining a
surprise.
It wasn't the only one, though.
This was going to be a culmination of an entire journey that started way, way back. In what, Central Park? Where was Andy born?
When'd you load that Flacco clip?
The Upper East Side. And you ruined everything.
Yeah.
What time did you load that Flacco clip
in? I loaded the clip in this morning, but I saved it in Dropbox.
Oh my God.
What?
So you did. So you weren't thinking you did something stupid because you weren't thinking.
I guess so, for the amount of people that told me at the party last night. And I was fine with it.
Because you'd go, again, how often are you here in the evening? How often?
Yeah, never.
Like not very often.
Exactly. No, I'm talking to Anthony. You can't see me. That's why you need to look over here. Anthony is here how often in the evening? Barely ever. You're here how often in the evening?
Never.
Barely ever. I'm here maybe 6 days a year in the evening, so that's barely ever.
So it would send off...
It would send off alarms when one boss tells another boss, hey, let's get together for a drink down here at this bar, and then all of a sudden he sees somebody who's never in the building in the evening, here in the evening. It would start to send off those vibes. Andy is not a stupid person.
He's not stupid. A tremendous running gag going forward where you can hire Mitch to spoil. If you have enemies.
It's a little insecure.
And you find out that you weren't invited to a party because, you know, maybe you're not really good friends with somebody else, whatever. You can hire Mitch, professional party spoiler, and he could go to every event and ruin the surprise every time.
If you pay me, I'll do it.
This would be incredible.
He did it for free last
night. I cannot believe you
did that
yesterday.
That was his soft launch.
How did
of
you
his
not
new business?
Have the presence of mind? That is unbelievable. I mean, it is believable because it's
you. I do want to hear this. I want to hear this Flacco clip really bad.
Yeah, let's play the Flacco clip here. It's such an important thing that we could ruin 13 years in the making. So we got to hear Joe Flacco right now, please.
I was optimistic, but I wouldn't necessarily say I was surprised about how the offseason
You weren't surprised. I'll tell you who else wasn't surprised, Joe. It was our boss, Andy Roth.
And obviously
go ahead, play it again. Play it again. I'm sorry.
You really can't get too high. You can't let yourself do that. I wouldn't say I was surprised. And then then you just try to look for reasons to be grateful and count yourself fortunate for the situation that you are in.
Andy was grateful and fortunate for the 13 years he spent here and the surprise that was ruined.
Hey, Mitch, when you...
Audio courtesy of Pat McAfee Show.
When he spotted you, did you go, womp, womp?
I should've.
Whoopsie daisy. Outstanding. Oh, God. How old are you?
27.
Yeah, you're way too old to be making these mistakes.
You're learning.
You're way too old in general.
Okay. Here we go.
I'm kidding.
That's fine. That's the worst these guys.
There's only one way to learn these things. You know, you're going to walk through life. You're going to be making some mistakes, ruining some surprise parties here and there, and it's important you build on it.
Anyway, what did you think of the... Sorry about that, Andy. Sorry I wasn't there either, but either way.
I'm sure we'll make it up to you.
2037, Hotlanta.
Hey, man, yeah. When you're 13 years into Atlanta and you're headed wherever you're headed next, man, I'll be there.
Maybe a blindfold next time.
What did you think of Joe Flacco's comments? He wasn't surprised. I wasn't surprised. You weren't surprised. A lot of people were like, well, who cares? They should have done... Because there is a difference here. You know, this is what makes it difficult. In the overall sense of winning games, which is what you're supposed to be taxed to do, like it's very hard. People have asked me, why didn't they do it? Why didn't they offer him a contract? Because we knew that they didn't offer him a contract. And I said, well, it's too much of a distraction. Well, what do you mean? And it's this hard exercise to really say, like, guys, like, there's no doubt about it. Like, the quarterback that you have now is sensitive to those things, and the people around him are very sensitive to those things. And they've made this massive investment in Deshaun Watson. Massive. And they weren't going to let anything that they could help run in the way of something like that. So Joe Flacco coming in, playing as well as he did, they are in tune to how the fans feel, and they knew that the fans were going to be there, and if he were to struggle, Deshaun Watson were to struggle, they were going to start chanting for Joe Flacco. I mean, you got people walking around in Flacco jerseys. Now, I don't think that they knew that they were going to, against the Giants, start chanting for Jameis Winston and then Baker Mayfield. Now, that was a little bit of a surprise to some people, if we're talking about surprises. But to not offer Joe Flacco any sort of return, that was not a surprise. Because while it can split the fan base, you know, if you struggle at the beginning and you have a guy who immediately did well and he was in the locker room and he's still in the locker room, no matter what Joe Flacco were to do to try to defuse the situation, it's going to cause a rift. You got 53 different guys there. You have 53 different futures at hand. It's going to cause a rift. Now, in the whole scheme of trying to win football games, I totally understand where people are coming from going, that should be above everything. And in a lot of ways, you're right. But I feel that they feel, and a lot of other teams feel, that he is not, Joe Flacco is not the type of quarterback that you would put your team at risk for.
You know, I think fans all the time think of things in a very different way than like organizations do. Fans are always like, well, wouldn't you put the guy back in who had the offense humming and vertical passing game we hadn't seen over the last few years, and all of a sudden Joe Flacco's just going up top and making these throws and throwing caution to the wind, and they're moving the football and part of like a magical run, and all of a sudden this whole city got behind this just out-of-body experience that was going on. Like, why wouldn't you just do that? Wouldn't you do whatever gives you the best chance to win? And I think the way that the teams function, like they're looking at everything else. Like, fans aren't really thinking about the stuff you just laid out and what's going on in a locker room and what's going on with an entire fan base. Now, the question is, Jameis Winston is, just by virtue of being the backup quarterback when the starting quarterback, like I saw the number, even though you and I both agreed that Deshaun Watson played well.
Yeah.
Like, there's nuance to that, but
played
well. But he's got the worst QBR in the league of all the starting quarterbacks that have played, you know, four games.
Yes, he does.
And anybody would be an improvement over that. Just your just thought process would be almost anybody else.
Understood, yeah.
Anybody else would be better than that.
Yeah.
But there are all these other factors that you have to take into consideration. My question is, like, Jameis, by virtue of being the backup quarterback, is now gaining popularity. Whoever the backup is going to gain popularity, but especially the guy that's giving the pregame speeches and, you know, being and serving as a leader, which is what Jameis is doing. Like, did they miscalculate?
Well, I do think that Watson said the right thing after the game on Sunday. Credit where that is due, because we're looking for leadership. And my antennas went up before that game when I read from the ESPN reporter, his name escapes me. I keep wanting to say Jake Trotter, but he's no longer in that role. That Jameis Winston was like the last one to say something on the field to like gather guys around and get them going. I go, well, that's great. And everybody should try to take some mantle of leadership, everybody on a team, because that means you have personal ownership of your football team in some fashion, no matter who it is. But at the same time, like, the guy out there in the field, it's got to be guys who play that really have the last word of that. So that startles me. That does startle me in that sense. And it still does. I know what Deshaun Watson said, and I hope that leadership continues. But you know what? It's been 3 years, so in some ways it could be to some people too little too late. My issue was, you know, some people said, well, they just want to win football games. I understand you want to win football games. And you may believe that Joe Flacco is a truly better quarterback, but I do think that there were other factors involved. I think that there are people who just dislike Deshaun Watson so much that they are more than willing to have Jameis Winston in there, and they were certainly more than willing to have Joe Flacco in there. And he was successful as a quarterback. You know, there were some things that I thought he might have been starting to turn into a pumpkin as defenses started to game plan for him, but I'm not going to sit there.
He's also 39 years old.
Yeah, I'm not going to say, exactly. I'm not going to sit there and root for the man's downfall. He was a nice guy. He was always good with us. I have no problem with Joe Flacco. It's amazing how things have changed over the course of 13 years. I remember the Browns with, what was it, Jason Campbell having to throw to run because we had no running game, trying to win that game. And you and I were out on West 6 at one point, and I can't say very much else after that. It's a very unique experience. But all in all, I can understand where the Browns are coming from, where they're thinking, no, that can create a really ugly situation at home in our stadium.
And that was a clip worth spoiling the surprise.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Not one, but two Monday night football games last night, Kenny. Oh, what a thrill. What a thrill. Now, Detroit was fun to watch last night. They were moving the ball up and down the field, Kenny.
Remember when it started at 9?
Oh, yeah.
Did you used to do the Hank Williams Jr. music?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
My dad had a guitar. I don't even know if my dad has a guitar. And I had a little, like toy guitar. And we used to do the All My Rowdy Friends Are Coming Over Tonight. And then he would send me to bed because it was 9 o'clock and it was bedtime.
I used to love the way in the intros. It's something you just always remember, the stuff when you were younger. And it just sticks with you forever. And you wish it were that way forever, but I remember the helmets clashing.
Yeah,
that was
always a really
big deal to me, was to see those helmets. And you remember,
what a
you had all the helmets. I mean, they were collector's items. The little, you had the pencils, you had the helmets, you know, of all the teams.
There is a man of a certain age driving right now on 480, and they got goosebumps because they have the same memories we do.
And, of course, that classic Dennis Miller.
And Dennis Miller, who I thought was terrific for a season. That's all he got, right?
No,
did he get more
terrific.
Than one?
I thought he
was not
two.
Terrific.
And it felt like every game was a blowout. And so he was doing Dennis Miller shtick every single week. I appreciated it. I don't think many others did.
No, they didn't. And rightfully so.
Right. Yeah, it seemed a little weird. All right. Detroit, 42-29. But the numbers from the quarterback yesterday. Well, first of all, Geno Smith was 38 of 56 for 395 yards. Played a different sport than
Dennis
we're playing.
Dennis Miller was in the booth on Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football. Who would it be today? Like, who would be the guy? Would it be like Sebastian? Because
Bill Burr.
Bill Burr?
No, Bill Burr knows. Bill Burr seems to know sports.
Yeah.
And is a sports fan. I didn't know Dennis Miller was a sports fan.
Yeah, it didn't sound like it.
So, I don't know who it would be. I don't know who it would be. Let's stick this guy in the booth. Let's see what this guy can do. Okay.
Be Matt Rife, and he starts doing crowd work for all the people in front of him.
He starts doing
They're
that.
Like, why are you doing this as a football
game? Well, Don Meredith did it.
Anyway, Jared Goff, 18 of 18. Kenny, 18 of 18 for 292 yards. He was flat out perfect, and he was asked after the game if he had ever done anything like that before.
Never. I don't think I've ever done it. I knew I did it in the first half last week, so I was aware of it then. And I was kind of aware of it today, about the middle of the third quarter. I was like, I couldn't think of one, but then I threw the one out of bounds that ended up being offensive pass interference. And I was like, does that count? I didn't know if that counted or not.
It was so crazy to see the differences in the two games last night, because there were two games, and this one was the one to keep your eyes focused on, because the other game was downright miserable.
How do you score 31 points and you throw for 90 yards?
85 yards.
85 yards, I beg your pardon. I gave him too much credit.
Yeah, Mason Rudolph had 85 yards passing. Tyler Huntley of the Miami Dolphins, they were trailing the entire game, had 96 yards passing. How is this going on in today's NFL? How are there two teams that could play? And the Titans had 7 scoring drives.
That is unbelievable.
They had a bunch of field goals. It was atrocious last night. Remember, we had people wondering about Tyler Huntley here in Cleveland. And Tyler Huntley, former Pro Bowler.
I got nothing wrong with that guy.
I know. It's just,
It's
just certain guys are not starting quarterbacks.
And he's one of them.
It shouldn't be that hard to come to grips with that. I know anytime you get somebody in camp or get somebody, you see a few passes in a preseason game, and people go nuts.
We used to get emails about Tyler Huntley. We used to get emails about Tyler Huntley when a certain quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was the quarterback here.
That's right. That's right, we did.
How little do we remember. I have the receipts.
Meanwhile, plenty of NFL news going down yesterday, but the wonder in Kansas City is what are the Chiefs going to do at wide receiver? They seemingly are in a worse and worse position every single year with wide receivers. Rashid Rice was taken out by Patrick Mahomes on a tackle attempt in that game on Sunday.
A linebacker, Patrick Mahomes.
Right, just a total bizarre scenario all the way around. Adam Schefter had maybe one plan of attack, one idea for the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Chiefs in other years have been very aggressive in this particular area. In each of the last 2 years, they have added a wide receiver before the trade deadline. They did it 2 years ago with Kadarius Toney, again last year with Mecole Hardman, and I would imagine that they'll make calls. And so when you start to make calls and you're in the position that the Chiefs will be with a strong record, you're going to be looking for teams that clearly have records that are not up to par. You go to a team like Tennessee. Could they eventually trade a guy like DeAndre Hopkins? The Browns have won one game. Would they be willing to entertain a trade for Amari Cooper? I think of Carolina and Deontay Johnson if they don't start winning football games. These situations begin to clear up as we get into October, as we get closer to the trade deadline, and as teams start losing more games, because the more games they lose, the more likely they are in a few weeks to be listening to offers from a team like the Chiefs.
Did you put that audio in yesterday or today, Mitch, courtesy of ESPN Get Up?
That was this morning.
Okay, just making sure. Amari Cooper, Kenny, I mean, we are not remotely close to having that conversation, right?
Yeah, no, we are.
We are?
Yeah. Even if they save their season, I think there's a possibility they could liquidate the asset. Yeah.
I mean, what would you even get?
I don't know, but It would take the rest of the money off the deal, and you would get something instead of letting him walk.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they were to, like, unless he is a big part of the offense, so, like, I say this very, very, like, hey, they'd consider it. I don't think they'd maybe do it unless it was just that good of a deal. But they might be willing to liquidate the asset and look in a different direction even if they were to get going on the right track. Like, say they win the next two games. I don't know what Philadelphia is. And they got back to 3-3. All right, well, now we're at the end of October, getting towards the end of October, so now it's getting down into decision time with the Bengals and the Ravens. Like, you could, even if you split that and were to be 4-4, all right, what do we really want to do with them? Okay, well, there's an offer here. Could we get better? Is Jerry Jeudy still good enough? Is David Njoku back and doing well for us? Like, there's a lot of things to consider. So, I think that they would consider it, considering what happened all throughout the summer. And that, yeah, I mean, he's...
Kenny.
He has been up and down through the first four games of the season.
It's so mostly amazing. Down. So he finishes the game with four catches and 35 yards, and they lose. If they don't call a hold, the ticky-tack hold, we are talking about, what was it, 84
somewhere
yards?
Somewhere around there.
Okay.
The ball that bounced off his chest.
Yes.
He still should have had five catches for 60 yards if he didn't bobble the ball and it turned into an interception.
But I'm just saying, forget about that. The drop would have been atoned for just because he scores a touchdown. Obviously. and they most likely win the game.
He's over 100 yards. He's got a touchdown.
And so is this conversation even happening? All because of a hold.
Deshaun's at like 260 passing.
Right. Look, and now it's like, hey, it's Deshaun Watson
with two TDs
in real time.
And you know, people around the league, they all didn't see the hold. They all didn't realize that was Deshaun Watson stepping up, scrambling, getting away from the pass rush, and completing a massive touchdown play. And we are having totally different conversations about this football team, Deshaun Watson, and Amari Cooper.
I thought it was a cheap call. I'm going to say this right now, and Nick Wilson could ask Ross Tucker about it when they have him on the show. I think Ross Tucker was just being a nice guy to Gene Steratore. Boom, there I said it. Ross Tucker's a nice guy, and I think he was being nice to Gene Steratore.
Yeah.
Whose son listens to the show?
You know, by the way, I had some people kind of reach out yesterday and say, you guys were not, you didn't make a big enough deal about that play.
The
ticky-tack hold.
I made a pretty big deal about it.
I know, but we have had days where we have started the show with an official's call.
Yeah, but you hate blaming officials, so I don't do that often.
I did that sparingly. On my behalf. I mean, if you felt
If I felt that passionate about it, and I've done this before, I would just start yelling at you, and then you would go, okay, we got to talk about this more. I didn't need to yell at you because I honestly, I didn't think it was worth it. I go, you still had a chance to go down there and win the game in the end.
I think that's the difference with this game in particular, is there was still so much time.
Yeah.
You had possessions. You had the opportunity. It sucked. It absolutely sucked. Feels like how many plays this year have we had a huge play? You know, obviously, well, against the Giants, you're thinking of putting the Giants away in that game, and then they got to come back after they're celebrating.
Yeah, and we lack discipline in the first place, and even when we do make a good play, it's still a ticky-tack call, and it shoots us in the foot.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, you had was it a huge Foreman run that he had to come back because it's you'd never see the offensive face mask.
Terrible.
Seems like they have just found ways each and every week this year to commit those penalties.
We're getting this question more and more, and it's a repeat question from 2021. And I made this comparison a bunch of times, and I'm going to do it again. RC from B-Town, realistic cynic. Twitter actions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. He tweeted at both of us yesterday afternoon. He or she, I'm not really sure. But either way, they wrote, can someone in the nitty-gritty department explain scripted drives and why Stefanski is so successful with them versus, I don't know, non-scripted? Do they or do they not want to hear my answer? Because it's going to be depressing.
I want to hear your answer.
So there's been a lot of people who've wondered about the scripted drives. And I don't want to say it, but it's the truth. And you're not going to want to hear it, but it's the truth. And it's a depressing answer. Is that defenses do not respect you or your personnel on offense. It's that simple. They don't respect you. In 2021, we were good on scripted drives. In other years, we were good on scripted drives. Last year, we were good throughout. Another year in 2020, we were good throughout. Your quarterback was not respected for the talents that he possesses, whether he was injured in 2021 or whether there's all this going on in 2024. Defenses, and we've brought this up a bunch of times. This is something I did not realize when I first started here. And talking to people, this is how it works, is that there's a feeling out period in teams. Like, they want to go down. They want to score. Don't get me wrong. They like scoring. The whole name of the game is scoring points. But what's more important is unlocking a defense. Because by the time you get to the fourth quarter, it's head up. There's no more surprises. This is what you have. This is a big issue. This is why big plays and gadget plays in the fourth quarter are such a big deal. But in the first 15 plays, you're trying to unlock a defense, see tendencies. You're trying to catch them and see what they've watched of you on tape. Well, the defense is trying to do the same thing. And so you're noticing in these games, you go right down and score. It's 7-0 or 3-0. The defenses are more than welcome to let you go down the field as long as they see what you're capable of. And they go, okay, we could take this, that, and the other way. And they don't have David Njoku. And the quarterback, as long as we bring any sort of pressure because the offensive line sucks, is going to turtle up and get sacked, which he did against the Giants to the tune of 8 times. I lost count. He's going to turtle up and get sacked. They can't get in front of us. And so that's what they've done. And so that's why you scoot out to a 7-0 lead or even a 10-0 lead, because the Raiders aren't that good and neither are the Giants. But they still have enough discipline where they're going to go, okay, we can shut this faucet off. And what happens? It feels like a faucet is completely shut off. And it's not until the last couple of weeks where you've gotten somewhat desperate, and then you got real desperate, where you started to move the ball down the field. You moved the ball down the field in the fourth quarter on Sunday. You got the turnover where Rodney scored, and he'll be in studio with us at 9 o'clock. Rodney scored on the turnover, and then you start moving with pace. Well, you can't just run the entire game with pace. You don't have the horses, and it's the NFL. It's a very difficult thing to do. So then you start to run with pace. You move the ball down the field. But in the end, these are tight games. They're one on the margins. And they don't believe that you have what it takes to get over that hump. That's a very scary thing to admit.
It is.
You want the answer? There's the answer.
No, it is. It makes 100% total sense. As you noticed during that game, and all the film gurus noticed, like, we can't protect when the teams are stunning. Like, we can't hold up. So teams are obviously picking up on that. And now it's going to be incumbent on the Browns offensively to have to keep extra guys in. Well, what happens when you're keeping extra guys in? It eliminates, you know, the opportunities down the field. We don't exactly have the game-breaking wide receivers that seems like all these other teams have. Like, our receivers are fine, but they are not they are not like, oh my God, throw the ball up to them and there's going to be 50 yards after the catch. You know, you saw Jameson Williams last night. I mean, we just don't have that. We don't have anything like, we don't have the speed of anything like that. We got a wide receiver who apparently is tired already, four games in. Did you see what Judy said yesterday?
Yeah, that was a little bit that was a little surprising to hear. I wish you wouldn't have said that.
I hope Mark Schlereth didn't hear that because it's going to be the bat signal to get him on all the shows again.
Oh, God. I hope that that's...
Four games in. And by the way, Judy's been like one of your best players. That's the sad thing.
I wish he wouldn't have said that.
Has he not been one of the best? You know what? Here is Jerry Judy from yesterday.
Go ahead.
You know, there were some plays out there last week. I felt like I was kind of tired, you know. So this week, I'm just going to probably run a little bit more after practice. Make sure I get my conditioning in because I was kind of fatigued on certain plays that I needed to be out there. But I wasn't due to how tired I was. So stuff like that, that's what I'm going to work on to make sure I'm the best version of myself going in this week.
It's going to work on not being tired during the games in week four.
Get those sprints in. You'll be good.
You're the one who caught a preseason. I don't know why you're ripping them. It was one of the first four games. You said the first four games of the season of the preseason. Where do you have any leg to stand on ripping Jerry Judy?
You clearly see that I'm right when it comes to that.
Okay, fine. Congratulations. The champion's pose to you, but don't be ripping Jerry Judy for being tired.
I don't think that's the message that fans want to hear right now.
It's not the message fans want to hear. That the best wide receiver that we have right now is tired. Yeah. That's not any fun. But it's such a depressing answer. Like last year, you had different looks. Your offense was able to go through its process. And even though we had offensive line troubles, there was still a respect to your process of what you were doing. I think that this, ultimately, you could put a lot on Stefanski because he's the head coach of the football team. And you brought up the end of the first half, and you're right about the end of the first half. That's a critical moment, and he failed in that critical moment to probably go out there and get three on the board and do that because you had a good kicker in Dustin Hopkins. However, I think it's even deeper than that. Do they trust the people that's with him to come up with the schemes to be able to run the football effectively? No. Do they trust Andy Dickerson as the offensive line coach on that other side? No. Coaches have massive egos, and they love to take each other down. You know that, Anthony, especially at that level. They love to talk trash about each other, but that's just the simple fact of the matter. And so when Nick Wilson goes on, and I don't have time to play it. We'll play it coming up in a little bit. When Nick goes on and asks, what's Kevin Stefanski's identity? He's searching for one. But right now, his identity, if you've ever seen The Quick and the Dead, where Russell Crowe's looking for a bullet, that's what he is. Because he doesn't have Nick Chubb, because you have to respect Nick Chubb. He doesn't have David Njoku, which is another leak for an offense. So you have Amari Cooper all of a sudden is a question mark whether or not he's going to hold on to the ball. You have Jerry Judy who admits he's tired. And who else do you have? Cedric Tillman, please. You can cover him one-on-one and be just fine covering in man with Jerry, with Cedric Tillman. So you really don't have many other options. So you exhaust what you have trying to see what their defense can give you, so you're trying to exploit whatever their defense has, but you don't have the horses to really exploit it. And so you find yourself in trouble later on in these football games. So now, I almost feel like you have to make the first quarter worth everything you possibly can make it. If you can get out to a 20-0 lead in the first quarter, get out to a 20-0 lead in the first quarter, because whatever team you're playing, here they come. And especially the Washington Commanders, who are flying high right now.